Any other questions or comments on this matter? Okay, we'll move to item number two. Agenda item number two, which is our quarterly report by BlackRock Merrill Lynch.
I'll introduce Jeff and Jeff. As you all know, that BlackRock has been our manager for two of the largest pieces of the investment, the large cap equity piece and the fixed income piece. So they have, and that represents about 70% of the total portfolio, maybe 65 to 70% of the total portfolio. Those two pieces. So anyway, Jeff Biggers are here. If they make some comments about, if y'all want to comment about this last quarter or what's going on, update on that.
We go a couple of pages. This is the fixed income portion first. Maybe one more to break down here. This one closed on the left. The index is on the right. Not a lot has changed since last time we reported. We remain underweight treasuries, still feeling very low yielding part of the fixed income market. So we're at 20, almost 23% treasuries versus the benchmark at 34%. Then we're overweight agencies at 10.5% versus the benchmark at 5.8%. And about market weight mortgages, 34% at 38%. And then we have pretty good overweight to corporate bonds at almost 31% versus the benchmark at 21%. Average credit quality, AA-. Duration, considered neutral to the benchmark, 3.2 full years versus the benchmark at 3.14. Average maturity, 3.8, a little shorter than the benchmark, 4.7. And that leaves us with an average yield maturity of 1.54% and a current yield of 3.93. We go to the next page, I believe, some performance. And the blue line, right middle of the page, total portfolio for the quarter is 0.35%. Obviously, this is a quarter where equities are doing better than fixed income. The index was up 0.66. Obviously, the year-to-date is going to be the same because all this data was going through the end of the quarter. And then the trailing 12-month at 7.14 versus the benchmark at 6.16. And just an update through Friday, close that gap a little bit from where that quarter. We're now up 1.5%. Benchmark's up 1.7. So now trailing by only 20 basis points. So any questions on the fixed income before I go to the large cap core equity? That's several pages.
Stop.
Okay. This goes into the sector breakdown. Top 10 holdings on the left. Top 10 holdings are same from last time we reported. Maybe go one more page, look at the sector breakdown. Overweight energy, overweight basic materials, two of our biggest overweights, and also healthcare. And then underweight financials and underweight information technology. And actually, I'll get to it in the next slide, but the... just looking at that financials area where we're underweight and IT, and then overweight to energy are basically where the slight underperformance for the quarter came from as financials continue to rally pretty strongly. On the next page, total portfolio again, this is just the equities in the light blue. For the quarter up 11.98%, whereas the S&P 500 total return was up 12.59%. Year-to-date column, again, is the same. And then trailing 12 months, 6.95%, as opposed to the S&P at 8.54. But the performance, general outlook is still positive. I think that equities in the year are higher than where they are right now. Of course, all of the market is focused on what's happening in Europe right now, and that's our biggest concern as well. So the news... it's better out of Europe. I think our markets, I expect to see them do better. Valuations are still very supportive here, around 13.5 times earnings for the S&P 500. And earnings so far through first quarter, a lot of companies, over 70%, surprising on the upside. So So earnings continue to look good, valuations are supportive. And now you've got election year that we're coming up on, a lot of noise around that, what's going to happen within tax policy, and then again, all this austerity measures within Europe and then here that are going to be curbing overall economic growth. So having to face that. Any questions on the performance?
I had a question. Just looking at, I sort of looked at the long period out there. If you look at those last two columns out there, the 5 years and then the 10 years and stuff, you see the portfolio has underperformed fairly significantly, the S&P 500. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's that calendar year 2009 that is in all of those trend annualized numbers where, you know, coming out of 08, we held up a little better in 08, but 2009, very low quality rally, and you know, we were not down in the lower quality stocks, so we underperformed that year. I think it was 1,000 basis points, and you know, that just wipes out all your 3-year, 5-year, 10-year number.
Now, did y'all want any other comments about that? You want to?
The time for me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. As you may all know already, that we've had a corporate decision within Merrill Lynch to exit the public funds market. And as I say, it didn't make me real happy, but had no say in the decision. But with that being told, we had the formal announcement has not happened. It will be launched in July, but part of my duty to this board and to the members is that to give you as much early warning as possible. So a few weeks ago, I asked a meeting with Phil and John to give them a heads up, knowing your cycle hadn't been part of this plan for over 10 years, so that we could facilitate a smooth transition, whatever you decide to do. But as we go going forward, there will be some additional notification for that. Why would be the question? The best of my knowledge, I haven't seen anything. It's not very well advertised out in the market, but the board or our corporate structure decided that to go in and do some risk reduction across the board, and public pensions or public funds, just not pension funds, decided to exit that market. What I would like to say, it's been a pleasure to work with all the members of the board and also to serve the employees of this institution. And anything I can do going forward, please do not hesitate to ask.
You might distinguish between the Merrill Lynch and the investments being with BlackRock and what that might mean from, you know,
whatever course that the board so desires to take, that does not eliminate BlackRock and Merrill Lynch. Years ago, separated. I don't know, you know, the actual relationship there is none. But there is an opportunity. BlackRock has been informed. I've let Jeff discuss, you know, what they might be able to offer the first continuation if the board decides to do that. And I'm sure there's other options that might be proposed to the board.
Mentioned since. We already have Wells Fargo as the custodian. It's not that disruptive. Some of our partnerships where we have these public funds where Merrill's being forced to withdraw, you have to deal with a change of custodian and all that. That wouldn't be an issue. Pricing actually will go down under this scenario, and I have shared that with John. So we can look at that and make the decision, you know, whether you want to do that. And again, the pricing is better on both fixed and equity, but we can get into that.
Is it still your understanding as far as just an agreement that we would need, that the committee would need to authorize an agreement with BlackRock as opposed to the agreement we have with Merrill?
I've been told, I don't think that we're going to require a new contract or paperwork. We'll just notify you that the fee is going to go. You know, basically, like the equity fee schedule has started at 1%, then the next tranche goes to 75 basis points, down to 60. Under the new scenario, it would start at 65, then go to 60, and then 55. And we're just going to notify you of this, you know, we'll put it in writing that that's okay. New fee schedule, but I don't think it's going to be a new discretionary contract. And the fixed income, just so you know, where it had started at 60 basis points, it will now start at 35 basis points and then go to 30 and 27.
So, I think I said, BlackRock can continue to serve the account, but Merrill will withdraw from serving the account.
Correct.
Yes, sir. And the mechanics of it, the way it's set up now, is that there is an account that Merrill, where money passes back through, back and forth, that account would be closed, and then the money flow would be directly from BlackRock to Wells Fargo and back.
Can you comment on how Merrill reduces risk by not serving a fee customer?
Okay. But we'll have more. I mean, we'll keep the committee certainly abreast of it. And like I said, there hasn't really been an official notice, although everybody, you know, it appears to will happen. But we'll work with that. And also, pursuant to that, when we get to Richard's report, there's material you all received in your diligence stuff that had to do with a large cap equity and large cap fixed income, looking at other potential managers in that area, just from a comparison standpoint, which we were going to do anyway, without regard to what, you know, as far as reviewing the BlackRock performance and stuff. So we're going to sort of start that today a little bit. There's no action going to be on it, but we'll just sort of start that process. We'll get to that when we get to Richard's report.
Thank you for retiring, because it sounds like it's going to save us money.
It might.
Okay.